Welcome to the City of Refuge podcast, where our mission is to equip a diverse community of Christ followers to make him known.
My name is Elijah Culpepper, and I'm one of the elders on session. I'm really happy to be here this morning. It's unique to be here. I know many of you are in your homes. I'm honored to be in your home with you this morning. I really look forward to us being back together face to face. I ask that you would provide grace this morning as we try to imagine you all here with us and listening and sharing this together. The first thing this morning, church, I really want to encourage you. I want to let you know how I and the rest of the session thank God for you. We really do. We talk about it. We see and are really encouraged by your selfless service, by your concern for others, your faithful participation in the ministry of the church. This is hard these days. It's disruptive. We all have a lot of things going on in our own lives, and ministry is different than it has been. We've seen you who are sick reaching out to share Christ with others. We've seen those who have uncertainty about your own jobs giving generously. Some of you have lost the structure of your daily work and are still disciplined to get up and pray early for us, for the church. Many of you have more demanding jobs now because of what's going on. And we see you serving and healing with diligence and commitment. We also see there is a lot of hurting too. And we see in the midst of pain, in the midst of broken relationships, we see that you're reaching out your hands to love. And that's really encouraging. We give God all the praise for, as Lionel calls these God sightings, you know, these glimpses of God in our church. Those are glimpses of Jesus. And we know that he loves us. We see his love for us in the way that we see him working among us. But did you know that Jesus is not only a companion to us during this time? He's not only helping us, but that Jesus is actually Lord of this time? Did you know that if we could say it, Jesus is Lord over the coronavirus? Think about the things that may have caused you to fear recently. Do you know that Jesus is Lord? You know, he's Lord over our fatigue. He's Lord over your income. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I'm hearing some yeses. And I'm probably hearing some maybe. I'm not sure. I should probably believe that. But my prayer is that if you couldn't answer yes, that you will continue to grow. Our prayer is that you would grow to see Christ as Lord over all things, including anything that you're encountering right now. Let's turn our hearts this morning towards our scripture passage. I'm going to read it aloud. When we're together, we stand and read together. If you'd like to do that at home, you can. I'm going to read from Colossians 1, a few verses. Here, this should be right about there. Now, I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to His power, which mightily works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. Thank you. Allow me to pray for us. God, help us to embrace your gospel. I pray that you will open our ears and hearts to understand your great love for us in Christ. I pray that you would allow us to see Jesus lifted as Lord, and that we would see your purposes for our suffering. Please help the words from this letter convict, encourage, and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. During our prior sermon series, we talked about the church and we learned how we make up the church, and that one of the ways we talk about the church is that we are the body of Christ on earth. And in this passage in Colossians, in this morning's reading, Paul expounds on this spiritual truth, the idea that we're part of Christ's body. He says that as part of Christ's body, we share in His suffering, we share in His power, and we share the fruit of suffering. So first, let's talk about how Paul describes the church and kind of see how he thinks about the church. Brandon talked about some of this last week in his sermon. And remember, this is a letter Paul is writing to a group of churches that are in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, 2,000 years ago. Earlier in this letter, he said several things about these believers. He said that they heard the gospel and they responded in faith. The good news, the gospel that they heard, that Paul calls a mystery here, was that God Himself came to rescue us. His name is Jesus, and He came for us and for our salvation. Jesus came to rescue all types of people, not just Jews and not just people 2,000 years ago, but all people. This is something that Paul saw the Colossians had responded to. They had put their faith in Jesus through the gospel. And as a result of that, Paul said they were reconciled to God and their sins were forgiven through the blood of Jesus. These people had come from both Jewish and pagan backgrounds, and from both places, it must have been good news not to wonder anymore whether guilt from their sin could be taken care of, washed away. Many were probably trying to erase their sin and improve their standing with their idea of God through their own religious effort. Christ made a way for them to have a relationship with God by dying in their place. Paul also said they have hope in the future, all the way to heaven. They saw that Jesus was Lord over all things, and they could have hope no matter what they encountered. Paul said the Holy Spirit had given them love. Paul saw this. He saw it. He heard about it from a long way away. Paul said that they had peace with God and they were no longer hostile to God. They had been enemies of God. He said, you know, they were antagonists, they were angry, defensive, unwilling to listen to the truth about God. But through the blood of Christ, they now had peace with God. Paul said they weren't aliens anymore. but now redeemed and belonging to God in the kingdom of Christ. And they didn't have a true spiritual home or people before. And they really were in bondage to evil power. But Jesus bought them and offered himself. And now they belonged to God and they were rightful citizens of Jesus' kingdom. And all the power of sin that had oppressed them has been defeated under Christ. I was glad to think about this morning when Lionel introduced our service. She had to think about the gospel and what it means to me and chances that I've had to share about Christ with others. And we're glad to see so many in our church who have put their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And for our church, for those of you who have put your trust in Christ, I say the same thing to you. Now, these truths apply to you too. You're reconciled to God. Your sins are forgiven through Christ's blood. You have an eternal hope. Jesus is powerful over all things you could encounter. The Holy Spirit abides in you and the love you have for each other. I've been so encouraged to see this attitude of love on display in this church. This is really the one of the main things that Stephanie and I saw 8 years ago when we first visited City of Refuge was just the love in the Spirit that we shared. Even though we go through difficulties as a church, the love of the Spirit is even more evident because it can't be faked. It's otherworldly. It comes only from Him. Church, you also enjoy peace with God, and you're not hostile to Him, but you're His friends. You're no longer aliens. You're redeemed and belong to God. As citizens in the kingdom of Christ. And for those of you who haven't turned from your sin, haven't put your full trust in Jesus, maybe haven't heard of Him before, this good news is for you. He calls you to do the same and to give your life to Him. Jesus said that if we try to save our own life, we'll lose it. So don't do that. Only by losing our life in Christ can we gain it. So really, talking about the body of Christ and what Paul means there really just helps us understand the rest of this passage, because Paul talks about what we as the body of Christ can expect. Because for Paul, being a part of the body of Christ also means that we will suffer. Suffer? Elijah, you just listed all of these amazing things that God gives us in Christ. How is it possible that if Jesus is for us and He's with us and we're friends with God and we're citizens of His kingdom, that we, might suffer? We might suffer. Actually, Paul says we will suffer. But I think the bigger question than why we should expect to suffer is, what if we asked why God? God, the creator of the universe, who was perfect, why He suffered? It's a pretty challenging question. As the Catechism says, Jesus became man so that He could obey and suffer in our nature. Now, Christ's suffering on the cross was to redeem mankind and to pay for our sin. That's not something we could replicate. That's not what I'm talking about. However, much of Jesus' anguish was due to His concern for others. He suffered persecution because of His righteous life, hostility because He challenged people to love and worship only God. And He suffered because He was a human on this broken planet. And Jesus said, if they persecute me, they will persecute you. They persecuted the prophets before me, and they'll persecute you too. Jesus also said that the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. So in addition to suffering on the cross, we see that Jesus lived a life of suffering because he was obedient to God and because he was poor. He took on our frailty. Paul makes reference to several ways that he and the Colossian church should expect to suffer. So let's think a little bit about where Paul was. You remember Paul was writing from prison, which was probably more like house arrest. I don't know how many of you have been in prison before, or how many have been properly under house arrest, but I bet more of us feel like we've experienced house arrest now than maybe 2 or 3 months ago. But let me ask, if you ever have experienced something like that, what have your priorities been during that time? Or let's move ahead. What were Paul's priorities while he was under house arrest? Well, for one, he's writing the Colossians a letter. You remember he'd never met this church. He hadn't been here. He says that he was praying always for them. And he said, we have not ceased to pray for you. He's clearly thought about their spiritual growth a lot. He writes, you know, these multiple chapters about them and their relationship with God. He's thought a lot about it. He's prayed about it. In verse 28, he says that his ministry focuses on every man, admonishing, teaching, so that they could grow in maturity. To admonish means to reprimand or correct. To help Christians grow, Paul says sometimes we need to affirm, sometimes we need to challenge. And just so you know, he doesn't mean only males here, but it's important what he's saying, that he doesn't just say, I want everyone to grow. He's really thoughtful about each person, and really for the church to grow, each one of us needs to grow. This is what Paul's thinking about while he's in prison. And I wonder how many temptations he had to think about other things. I wonder how he remembered to pray for them all the time. Think about how long it took mail to travel back then. I wonder what he was thinking about waiting to hear an answer to his letter. You know, the vision that I get of Paul is, you know, in this place, this cell or this room, you know, as he's lifting up his hands to the Father to pray, I get this image of God's Spirit in him, like helping him to reach out. You know, he's aiming at Turkey. You know, he's stretching to them and praying for them. He was probably in jail for proclaiming the gospel. And certainly he had suffered for doing this before. And in a way, the church in this region was a result of him suffering. I think one of the ways that Paul is showing us about suffering is that when we are in Christ, we carry the burden of love for others. And that's something that God asks us. He shows us how to do. Jesus has modeled for us already. So, I said before that we suffer because we're part of the body of Christ and because Jesus himself suffered. So it's natural for us to expect to suffer. But there's another way for us to look at suffering. We're also called to endure suffering because through it, God accomplishes his purposes. And there's fruit. Perseverance in suffering produces character. The way Paul talks about it here in verse 29 is that it makes us complete and mature. And Paul gives us some clues about what we should expect if we continue to struggle and if we don't give up. Paul says we'll have a stable faith. We will have courage. We will enjoy our place in the tapestry of Christian love. Like Paul, we will participate in admonishing others. We'll grow a deep understanding of the gospel. And in doing that, we make Christ our treasure. Christ himself becomes our treasure. Christ himself. We will be holy. Paul says we'll ultimately be presented as holy and blameless to God. We'll do what is right and be dedicated to God's service. We'll share in Christ's riches. Paul says that maturity happens through admonition and teaching. So as we can grow, we can also expect to participate in this admonition and teaching. Some of us will be admonishing and teaching, and others receiving that, and then we'll grow to become people who can admonish and teach. And remember that before we grow in Christ, we must hear about him. So Paul's struggles, many of them came through his proclamation of the gospel. And as we pray for and love those around us, we also carry that burden. Now I think about, you know, us even taking that same posture that Paul took as we, you know, stretch out our arms and pray for our brothers and love our brothers and sisters as we pray for them, as we invite them to get to know Jesus. Over time, we start to see our faith grow to be stable. We grow to trust God more readily, faster, for longer. Difficulties and surprises are not our master, but Jesus is. Paul said earlier in this letter that he prayed that they would walk in a manner worthy of Christ, to please him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work. Can you imagine walking in a manner worthy of Christ? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine pleasing him? Can you imagine feeling the pleasure of the Father? What a vision that is. Isn't it amazing to know that as we hold fast to Christ during our suffering, that God is pleased? And ultimately, the fruit of our suffering is to be with God forever in heaven. This is our long-term hope as Christian. And I pray that we indeed continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we are all a part of Christ's body. The suffering that we're going through right now and the struggles to come are not a surprise to him. He's the Lord of all. He has a purpose in them. And right now, in our trials, Jesus walks with us. He leads us, and He's already cleared the path ahead of us. Let us walk with Him. Let us press into Him. Let us reach out to others to attain to all of the promises of the gospel. Amen.